I'd like to start with a little reflection on today's saints, Saint Charles Lwanga and his companions, 22 martyrs, considered the proto martyrs of modern Black Africa. The earlier martyrs of Africa were way, way back in the early church. But Charles Lwanga and his companions were martyred in 1886 or something like that, late 19th century. Well, all martyrs are heroes of the faith. All martyrs are inspiring witnesses. These martyrs stand out for a couple of reasons. First of all, because of the location where they're from, that is Uganda, what's called East Africa, sometimes called the Lake Region of Africa. We had to learn a little bit about the geography of Africa when we had Nigerians here. They're from West Africa, Nigeria's West Africa. One of whom, by the way, is celebrating his birthday today. You know that, Father Lewis's birthday today. Anyway, in East Africa, Uganda, it was at the time of Charles Lwanga, it was at a time of both colonization and evangelization. So the first evangelization of that region, European Christians were going there, mostly English or British, and were introducing the gospel. So these men who were martyred are first generation Christians. They didn't come from Christian families or from a Christian culture. They were born into pagan culture. And yet, they took on the faith so wholeheartedly that eventually they laid down their lives for the faith. They were martyred by their own king, a king, we call him a king, kind of like a tribal chieftain, which in that culture was a man of absolute power, which is true in many cultures in history, where the top authority has pretty much absolute power. What he says goes. And very often the king determines the religious expression of the people. When these young men became Christians, some were Christians before they entered into the service of the king, but others were already pages in the royal court when they were baptized or when they were evangelized. When they became Christians, they recognized that there is an authority higher than the king. So there's no such thing as an absolute ruler in the human sense. The king can't decide everything about what they do. He can't determine what their religion will be, and he can't determine what their moral life will be. Well, the king didn't like that. And you probably know that one of the demands of the king was for his own sexual fulfillment or desires. These young men had to resist his advances or his demands. And when they resisted, he got angry and eventually ordered their execution. Not all at the same time, pretty much in the same period of a couple of years. So they stand out not only because of the stage of history in Africa at that stage of colonization, and then they were canonized at the time when Africa, many African countries were declaring independence from the colonizers back in the 60s. So they stand as representatives of the basis for genuine independence. There's no absolute independence. There's no one who can say, I'm in charge of everything and I don't have to submit to anyone. But the basis for genuine independence of nations is the law of God, the plan of God. So that's a striking thing. But it's striking also that their feast day falls on June 3rd, the very beginning of what's now considered Pride Month. I don't know why Pride gets a whole month, but I've already seen in the news a whole flood of articles about Pride. meaning LGBT pride. Now, you know, most causes get a day, you know, or a week maybe, but a whole month. And so we're going to be flooded with rainbows and all kinds of messages about how pride is the something to be glorified. If there's an element to it, which of course the church upholds, that is a right to be free from unjust discrimination. It's right in the catechism. People, there's no right to discriminate. But the problem is when the pride agenda runs further, it becomes glorification of immoral behavior, of grossly immoral behavior, glorification of behavior that in previous eras wouldn't even be spoken about in public society. And now it's on display in parades and in the media, and as if the best thing you can possibly do is go to an orgy with same-sex partners. Isn't that a great thing? That shows how deviant the world has become. Well, it's striking that Charles de Lange and his companions are honored today because they're martyrs for chastity. They're martyrs for resisting the demands of the culture. You would think, in most cases, martyrs of chastity or people who are models of chastity, especially young men, you would say that means they respected the young girls of the village. But in this case, no. They resisted the same-sex demands of their king and were killed for it. So they're great heroes, and I think very timely in this beginning of what the world calls Pride Month. We have examples of people who are humble enough to submit to the will of God in a beautiful way. Now, today's gospel is the parable of the wicked tenants, these tenant farmers who receive so much from the owner, everything, in fact, and everything necessary to produce an abundant harvest, and they take it to themselves. And so they refuse to give the owner any produce at all. They even kill his servants. It's very striking that this gospel lands on the feast of St. Charles de Lange and his companions. Did you notice the opening prayer? I'm going to read it to you again. The collect of today's Mass actually refers to this very image that Jesus uses in the parable. O God, who have made the blood of martyrs the seed of Christians, that's an ancient tradition, right? Goes back to the 3rd or 4th century, to call martyrs, the blood of the martyrs, the seed of Christians. Mercifully grant that the field, which is your church, watered by the blood shed by St. Charles de Lange and his companions, may be fertile and always yield you an abundant harvest. So here's a prayer that the church, the field of the church, will yield an abundant harvest. Well, that's exactly what doesn't happen in the gospel today. The tenants refuse any of the produce at all to the owner. See the contrast between Charles de Lange and his companions and these wicked tenants. So we're to be inspired by the example of the martyrs, but we're also to learn the lesson or receive the warning not to be like the tenants, the tenant farmers. What's their problem? Well, they have the same problem we all have, the tendency to take for ourselves what is not ours, to claim a position for ourselves that doesn't belong to us. Well, the king in Uganda did the same thing, right? He claimed a right that was not his. He claimed as his own something that was not his own. You could say he's like the tenant farmers that the king, Mwanga, I think is his name. So what is this tendency? It's this tendency to make ourselves the standard It actually is more of a tendency when we have something. So this is what happens when people have gifts or have money or have power. They get, or we get, the illusion that that gives us the right to have more. Have you ever noticed that? That rich people are greedier than poor people? They're more focused on money than poor people are? They say, well, it doesn't make any sense. They have plenty of money. But it's that tendency in human nature that to run with what we have. And people with gifts, in fact, all of us, all we have to do is look at our own lives and our own gifts, and you can see the tendency to use those gifts as the basis for glorifying ourselves. And if someone questions us or threatens us or doesn't accept us, well, we'll fight for more. We can even be violent like these tenants. Wherever we have a bit of pride, a bit of self-importance, a bit of, you know, claim that we're somebody, or we have something, we can fall into the trap of these tenant farmers and refuse to honor God or submit to God. That's the warning. In the parable, what happens to those who refuse to submit to God? They end up losing their place in the vineyard. Not only do they can they not keep what they think they can keep, they end up losing it all. That's the word. Well, the first reading today gives us something more positive to reflect on, and that is, this is from the second letter of Peter, beginning of the letter. Peter acknowledges what God has done for us and calls us to cooperate with this gift. May grace and peace be yours in abundance through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's his first reading. Then Peter says, his divine power has bestowed on us everything that makes for life and devotion. It's like the owner giving the tenant farmers everything they need to be fruitful. God has bestowed on us everything that makes for life and devotion through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and power. And then Peter, a few verses later, gives us this kind of chain reaction that he encourages us to strive to follow and make every effort, he says, make every effort to enter into this kind of a growing or self-generative process of growing in holiness. Virtue, faith, knowledge, self-control, endurance, devotion, mutual affection, love. It's like setting up a cycle from faith to love, to faith to love, and everything in between that makes it possible, including, yes, love, including self-control, including chastity, including devotion, submission to God, love for our neighbor, mutual affection. It's kind of a summary, a package of the Christian life. And that's what's made available to us, and that's why it's possible for us, even though we're weak and we're sinners, it's possible for us to be abundantly fruitful. If we submit ourselves to God, if we let his grace work in us. Well, Charles Lwanga and his companions are examples of how to be fruitful. Maybe we won't be put on the spot to defend our faith with our blood. Maybe we will, but whatever position we're put in, we're given everything we need to be able to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And that's the best way to live. It's the most exciting way to live. It's the most fulfilling way to live. Selfishness and making demands on others and submitting to the demands of our own flesh, that's no way to live. That's a kind of slavery. But submitting ourselves to God, that's genuine freedom, genuine happiness. That's holiness of life.